Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. The last part of Romans chapter 7, to what Paul called the law of sin. And it's my prayer that we understand that unbelievers can do good things, and many of them do good things. But because of the spirit of the law, the spirit of God's law, we have to understand that God demands absolute right perfection. And no matter how many good things an unbeliever does, they can never achieve perfection. So the spirit of the law condemns them. And the spirit of the law also condemns believers who attempt to do good things apart from a relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, that's possible. We can, as we're going to see today, do good things, attempting to impress each other. And sometimes we do. But we can never impress God when we do those good things by means of the flesh. We can only impress Him when we maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ that's living and powerful and dynamic. And as a result of that relationship, then when we do good things to please Him, when we do things to please Him, when our thought life pleases Him, when our words please Him, when our ways please Him, then that's divine good. And that impresses God. And it impresses one another. We're impressed with true spirituality. That's what that is. But remember, the law of sin always works. It always works. That is, if we get out of fellowship with Jesus Christ and we try to do good things, that becomes legalism or self-righteousness. And that makes God sick. He's not impressed. That's important to understand. Now, I say that, all of this, because we're going to turn the page today and we're going to talk about another law. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's an exciting law. That's how we can serve the Lord. And we can perform works and good deeds that impress God, and hopefully they impress each other. So today, it's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And with that in our mind as introduction, let's pray together. Father, it's my prayer that we would understand Your Word today, that we would have some insight given to us by the Spirit into this new law. Because it's this law in which we are to live, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's this law that frees us from the law of sin and death. And I pray that every believer here would understand this truth and that we would see the value of walking in fellowship with Christ, that we would see the value of cultivating a life with Him that's genuine and, Father, that's sincere. not going through the motions with no meaning, not trying to be religious, not trying to be Baptist, not trying to be Christians, but to develop a relationship with you that's powerful and strong and real and good. Thank you for that knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. In the floating oil refineries off of the Gulf of Mexico, they have aboard those things a little capsule. And it's an ingenious little instrument. It's a little round capsule looking deal. And if there's a storm approaching, a hurricane, it's a safety capsule. And if the weather gets really bad, the winds and the waves get really bad, then the men on board are to climb into that capsule. It's amazing, isn't it? And they close the door. And this, there's a chute off of those platforms that catapults that capsule into the water. And they, boy, they're battered with the waves and the wind and the storm, and it's tossed. But hopefully the men are safe in the capsule. So when the storm passes by, they live through it and they come out. Well, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we haven't been put into a capsule, but something even better. We've been put in Jesus Christ. We've been put into Him. Now, notice the result of that. Look at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, watch this, no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. We're safe forever in Christ. Now that's good news, because we know from God's Word that one day judgment is going to come. God's judgment is going to be poured out on planet Earth. And only those who are safe in God's capsule, the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be able to stand in the day of judgment. We are safe in Christ. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The implication is there is condemnation to those who are not in Christ Jesus. But then it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to put that on hold in your thinking. Can you hang it on a memory peg in your mind? We're going to deal with that down in verse 4. If you'll just hang on a moment, we'll deal with that for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Hang on to that thought. Don't leave me, because if you do, you're going to be dead in the water. No pun intended. Remember, those of us who are in Christ, let's back up a little bit. The moment I trust Christ as Savior, some absolutely amazing things happen. Supernatural, phenomenal things. Things that the eyes can't see, the ears can't hear, but real things, real to God. And one of those things is that we're baptized into Christ. We are immersed into Him immediately. That's real baptism, by the way. We're placed into Him. And something happens the moment we placed into Him that's phenomenal. His life becomes our life. Now, what kind of life does He have? Forever life. That's right. Everlasting life. So that His life becomes our life because we're in Him. And His righteousness becomes our righteousness. It's put to our account. It's not an earned righteousness. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we receive it because we're in Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So, and be found in Him. For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Can you finish it? in him. Yeah, isn't that good? So his righteousness becomes our righteousness. His relationship to the Father becomes our relationship to the Father. Now, who is Jesus Christ? He is a Son of God, right? He is the living Son of God. So in Christ, we receive that same relationship to God. We're now children of God because we're in Christ. And finally, His destiny becomes our destiny. That's important to understand. What God has planned for Jesus Christ now becomes ours because we're in Him. Is that not amazing? So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We receive His life. We receive His righteousness. We receive His relationship to the Father. We receive His destiny because we're in Him. Boy, what a capsule, amen? What a capsule. That's fantastic to know. Now look, there's something else that takes place here. Look in verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now we know what the law of sin and death is. The law of sin and death says I can never do anything with my flesh to please God because God's law always condemns that. But now we're operating under a new law, those of us who are in Christ. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Now what is that law? That law, listen to this carefully, that law becomes our life now that we know who we really are. Said simply, we're to live who we are. I mean, it follows that if we have Christ's life, we have His relationship to the Father, we have His righteousness, we have His destiny, now we are to begin to live like that. We are to cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ in time. We are to grow to love Him. We are to grow to the point that we want to fellowship with Him, that we want to walk in fellowship with Him, that we want to do what He tells us to do because we love Him. We want to think what He wants us to think because we love Him. And the more we grow to love Him, the more we feel obligated to please Him. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, if I could impress upon you today who you really are in Christ, that is, if I could make you as Baptists really believe that. The problem is some of us, when you say, well, that's good preaching, but, you know, I don't necessarily believe that. If you start to believe that and you start to see yourself as God sees you, not as I see you, but as God sees you, and if you start to say, you know, we are the body of Jesus Christ here at Glendale. We are. We really belong to Him. He is our Lord. He is our life. And we really begin to see ourselves that way. You know what? It would change your life. Forever change your life. That's exactly what Paul says here. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual life. It's coming to grips with who we are in Christ, listen to this now, and beginning to live accordingly. Because we are in Christ, we are now servants of His. That's far from going through the motions of being a Baptist. That's far from going through the ritual. Oh, it's Sunday, we got to go to church again. I got to go down there and go to Sunday school. Don't really want to. It's cold outside, it's raining. But I got to do it because everybody's expecting me to do it. Other people are looking at me. If I don't do it, they're going to condemn me. Uh-huh. That's called legalism. That's called religion. And the other hand, you know, is when you do all those things to please men because they're looking at you and they say, oh, what a wonderful person you are. You never miss Sunday school. You always bring your Bible. And you can pray publicly. Listen to your wonderful words as you pray publicly. And it just feeds your ego. You say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not bad. That's self-righteousness. God hates self-righteousness. That is not the Christian life. Far from it. That is not the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's not the law that we're to live by. Flip that over. We're to please the one who bought us with his precious blood. We're motivated by him to get up on Sunday morning and come down and listen to the Bible taught. Not because we're listening to a preacher, but we're learning God's word. And we're becoming equipped to serve him in this life. And we're excited about what we're learning. That's the Christian life. And listen, we're motivated secretly to do a lot of things. Secretly, by God the Holy Spirit, we're motivated to give when we don't want to give. When our flesh says, you can't afford that, but you give. Right? And your flesh says, you can't do this, but you do it. And when you, listen, when you wait on each other, when you meet each other's needs, you're doing it to please the one who bought you with his precious blood. When you wait on the needs of other believers in the body of Christ, you're not doing it because of the praise of men, because so you can be seen of men and applauded by men. You're doing it as unto him. That is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He says, and here it is, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. It has everything to do with motivation. We become spiritual people the moment we trust Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we do spiritual things all the time. I've noticed you haven't done that. And if you notice me long enough, you follow me around with your, like you do, you'll find out I'm a human being and I trip up from time to time. I mess up. You'll say, preacher messes up too. Now, if I tell you publicly that I do, then you won't be caught by surprise. We all do. Paul is not saying we do spiritual things all the time, but he is saying that we're spiritual people. We're spiritual people who do fleshly things from time to time, right? Though we shouldn't, we still what? Do. Now look in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now here's what that simply means. I can't be right before God by keeping the law. The law condemns me. The law tells me I'm no good. And I understand that. And I know I need to be better because God's law tells me I need to be better. I need to be perfect. I need to be good. But I can't be good by keeping the law. It can't make me better. It just condemns me when I'm not good. I can't take the law and apply it to my life and hope that the law will give me the righteousness necessary to stand before God, because it will not. It will condemn me because I am sinful. And that's what it says here, because what the law could not do, here's the reason, in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh cannot do what the law says do, no matter what. If I do good things in my flesh, the law will condemn me. If I do good things in my flesh, the law will say you're self-righteous, you're a legalist, you're religious, but you don't please me, God says. Notice, God did. Now, that's important to understand. Circle that. God did. Past tense. It's done. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for sin. He paid our sin debt in full. It's a done deal. It's finished. All of our sin has been nailed to the cross of Calvary. And because of his death for our sin, he made it possible for us, listen to this now, he made it possible for us to fulfill the righteousness demanded by the law. The moment I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, he applies the benefits of that work to my life. He gives me, by faith, the righteousness I need to stand before Him. What does the law demand? Righteousness. Can the law give righteousness? No. But now I can receive righteousness because of what Jesus Christ has done for me by faith in that finished work. Now I can be right before God, not because I've earned it, not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, but because of what Jesus Christ did, because of who He is and what He did. Now I can be right. And I can also do good things that God appreciates. As I walk in fellowship with the living Lord, I can do things now that He appreciates. I can perform divine good. I can build for myself gold, silver, precious stone one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I can perform acts of kindness, of goodness, that He appreciates. Do you see the difference? I hope you do. Jesus Christ made that possible. Now I can be right before God because of what He has done for me on the cross of Calvary. He condemned sin in the flesh. Of course, this is all done, this is all performed in us by the Holy Spirit, and it's an amazing thing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is made possible because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. As we have trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we are to walk in fellowship with Him every day, and when we do that, God the Holy Spirit controls our life. He gives us the power to live the Christian life. He gives us the power to glorify Jesus Christ. Who gives us the power? He gives us the power. Is it our flesh? Not hardly. I'm not here to try to impress you with my flesh. I'm here to magnify Jesus Christ. I'm here to magnify God the Holy Spirit, because God the Holy Spirit says He's going to magnify Christ in us. So this whole life is a spiritual life. That's what Paul is getting at here. It's a spiritual life. It's interesting that the Spirit of God is mentioned only four times in the first seven chapters of Romans. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in chapter 8. Now that tells us that something's going on in chapter 8 that didn't go on in the other chapters. That tells us that God the Holy Spirit is now fully engaged in our life. And remember, God the Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus Christ. He didn't come to glorify Himself. That's why we don't glorify the Holy Spirit here at Glendale. We glorify Jesus Christ, because that's what He wants us to do. We put all attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done. The Holy Spirit, though, is in the background, is He not? He's doing His thing. And His thing is to glorify Christ in us. We walk, that is, we walk by the Spirit. That is absolutely true. Look in. Let's get to verse, because I've got to finish this. Let's get to verse 4. I want you to see it. Now, you're going to have to understand this fact before we look at verse 4. Are you looking up here at me? Watch this. Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is what? That which is born of the flesh is? They're mutually exclusive realms. Those who are born of the Spirit are spiritual people. Those who are born of the flesh are fleshly people. That's why He said you must be born again. You're born again, the flesh becomes spirit then. You have a spiritual nature. You're born of God. Now you have the capacity to please God. Before, you didn't have the capacity to do that. Now look in verse 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is the requirement of the law? Absolute what? Perfect righteousness. That's God's law. He requires righteousness. But in our flesh, we can't do it. Why? Law of sin. But now that we know Jesus Christ as Savior, now that we have received a righteousness given to us by God not according to our works. Now that we have that right standing before God, we're able to fulfill the righteousness of the law. We can do it. We met the righteous requirement of the law the moment we trusted Christ as Savior. We were given righteousness. The law couldn't give it to us, but Jesus Christ can. And now that we are saved, now watch this, now that we are born again children of God, we can maintain a right relationship with Him in time. We can fellowship with Christ. We can grow to know more about Him, love Him, walk with Him, spend time with Him. And then when we do that, out of our life flows the righteousness of the law. Isn't that amazing? That's exciting to me. And people are drawn to that. They're drawn to it. Man, they come out and they're drawn to it. They say, there's something going on here that's fascinating. There's something going on here that's real. It's genuine. It's of God. It's not religion. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Christian thing. It transcends the Baptist church. Now, I like the Baptist church. I am one. Highly recommend it. But this is a God thing. It says that when I trust Jesus Christ as Savior, I become a spiritual person. Now, that doesn't mean I don't do fleshly things. I do. We all do. But we're no longer a fleshly person. From that time forth, we're no longer a fleshly person. We're now a spiritual person. That's what I want you to see and understand, because that's exactly what Paul says here. Look in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. How often do those who are according to the flesh set their mind on things? How often does that happen? 24/7. You know what that means? That means all the time. Why? Because they're fleshly people. Now, the fleshly people do good things? You better be glad they do. They make better neighbors, do they not? They make better friends. I'm talking about unbelievers who do good things. They're kind. They're good. You can go to them for a cup of flour when you need it. They give you a cup of flour. And they're kind people. Some of them aren't so kind. But unbelievers can do good things. But what does the spirit of the law do to those good things? It condemns them. Because it demands what? Righteousness. But what about believers? Now, we're no longer fleshly people. We're spiritual people. But here's what I want you to understand. Do we do spiritual things 24/7? Well, it doesn't appear that we do. But the wonderful thing is that God looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So God looks at us as though we're doing the right thing how many times? All the time. Is that not amazing? That amazes me. He looks at us as those who are born of Him, those who belong to Him. Now, when we get out of fellowship, the difference is when we start doing things that are displeasing to Him, what does He do because He's our Heavenly Father? Yeah, He chastises us. He disciplines us. Does He discipline an unbeliever? Nope. He doesn't. But He does those who belong to Him. Now, notice this. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That is, only those who are born of God have the capacity to do spiritual things. We do have that capacity. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to do spiritual things 24/7. But that means we have the capacity to do things that please God. And we do things that please God when we walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. What about when we're out of fellowship with Christ? We're not pleasing God. We fall back under the law of what? The law of sin. Is this complicated? I don't think it is. I think it's liberating myself. The separation between these two realms is clearly defined. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But I want you to understand what Paul is getting at here. He's not trying to say that those of us who are spiritual do always do spiritual things. That's why everybody looks at Glendale like this. All those Christians over there who say they're Christians, I know who they are. I live next to them. That's a shame, isn't it? It shouldn't be that way. Because when you live like that, you not only bring a reproach on yourself, but ultimately you bring a reproach on everything we stand for. You bring a reproach on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You bring a reproach on grace. That's why people say, oh, that's easy believism. They teach over there is all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you can be saved and live like you want to. And you know that's not true. You know far from it. Why? Because you have grown in understanding God's Word. And you want to sometimes just shake them and say, no, that's not true. But Christians do bad things. Spiritual people do fleshly things. But on the other hand, fleshly people can never do spiritual things that please God. They can do things that please other people, but they can never please God. Now let's get to the verses 6 and 7 and 8, and we're going to be through. For the mindset on the flesh is what? Death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. That's what I'm saying. It's a matter of ability. An unbeliever cannot please God. They're natural people, and natural people can't be spiritual people. It's hard to understand the difference, isn't it? And there's been some of you who you look at unbelievers, and they do a lot of good things. In fact, many of them do better things than those of us who claim to be believers. And you say, well, surely they're a Christian. And we say, well, why do you feel that? Well, look at all the good things they do. What does God demand? Absolute what? Righteousness. So when they die and stand before God, what's He going to demand? Righteousness. And they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do many good works in Your name? Didn't we do this and this and this? Look at all the wonderful things we've done. He's going to say, I never knew you. I didn't know you. You didn't belong to me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And that's why it's so bad for those of us who know Christ not to walk with Jesus Christ. When we start manufacturing the work of the Holy Spirit, we start counterfeiting the work of the Holy Spirit. That as we go through the motions of doing church, we're miserable inside, but we're doing church. It's an obligation. I got to do it. We're doing church. We're teaching Sunday school. Oh, what a joy it is. You're miserable to be around, those of you who do that. You're no fun. That's legalism. And why Paul hated it so much is people who get trapped in that never get out of it. They never find out what it's like to love Jesus Christ and to grow in Him. That's why I started that little book, A Glimpse of the Christ. I want you to know who He is. That this is Jehovah God manifest in human flesh. He is the God-man that saved you. He is worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of you getting to know Him. That's not preaching. This is true. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. The fleshly mind cannot connect with God, period. Look in verse 8. Those who are in the flesh, what does it say? Cannot please God. It's impossible. Oh, but we do good things. Can't please God. We do many wonderful works. Can't please God. Do unbelievers come to church? Absolutely. I was talking to a good friend of mine in DeKalb recently. And this guy has grown, listen, he's grown in his understanding of grace and the Word of God, and I had the privilege to get him started. But once I got him started, he left me behind. And he started to grow in grace and really take in the Word of God. And he says, Dick, you know what the problem is? Well, we have kind of little names for each other. Vern and Roscoe. And he says, Roscoe, you know what the problem is? I say, what, Vern? He said, there are too many unbelievers in the local church. I know that's true. You know why? Because every place God has ever led me, I preach the gospel, and there have been people who have been a part of that church for years and years and years and years. And they say, I'm trusting Christ. I know who He is. I know what He's done for me. And now I'm trusting Him. I'm a child of God. Is that not amazing? I'm a child of God. I've been a good Baptist. Now I'm a child of God. They make the best Baptist, by the way. Here's what I'm telling you. Several years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. with two men, and we were going to India on a mission trip. Washington, D.C. to New Delhi, India, we're going to fly 7,438 miles. And I remember stepping aboard that giant 747 airliner. Boy, what a plane. Listen, there wouldn't hardly be anybody on board, but just us and a few other people, and we had the airplane to ourselves, basically. And boy, what a plane. This thing was huge. And I became consciously aware as I'm walking aboard and I'm sitting down of this huge, several-ton aircraft with miles of wires and miles of tubes that go every direction, and all of the computer system on board, and all this thing is heavy. And I'm overwhelmed with the fact that God has a law in place. It's called the law of gravity. And I'm thinking, can this giant piece of steel and wire and all of its complexity, can this thing fly? And I'm thinking, it better. At least for the next 17 hours, it better. And I remember thinking as we lumbered, boy, that big thing lumbered out on the runway, and it was just moving so slow, and he turned that giant thing around and faced it down the runway. I'm thinking, God. And then he poured the juice to her. Here we went. Started real slow, and I heard the little cracks in the pavement as they came by the tires, this thump, 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 and it got louder and louder and quicker as this big giant thing picked up speed and the thrust of those jet engines, and I'm being pushed to the back of it, and I'm thinking, I'm becoming consciously aware of another law. It's called the law of aerodynamics. And as the wind rushed over the big wings of that airplane, all of a sudden I felt this lift. Whew, boy, I'm glad I felt it, Mark. Because shortly after that, I'm seeing houses go by and cars and little people walking around as I'm climbing into the air. And for the next several hours, God's law of aerodynamics trumped the law of gravity. Now, the law of gravity was still in force, was it not? But the law of aerodynamics has taken over. Now I'm flying to India. And I'm saying, Lord, please, just let the law of aerodynamics supersede the law of gravity for the next 17 hours. And you know what? He did. But this is exactly what we're learning. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the law of sin and death. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's where it all starts. Father, we love You. And Father, everyone has a right to hear the truth. No one is going to believe everything that's taught and everything that they hear. But they have the right to hear Your truth from Your Word. And what they do with that, Father, is totally up to them and God the Holy Spirit. And it's my prayer that your Spirit would begin to work in the lives of your people here at Glendale, and that we would be able to, in our works and what we do here, please you and draw other people to a saving knowledge of Christ because of it. Thank you for our time. And as we always pray, may it prove to be valuable time, not only now, but in the months and years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.